Welcome to the Bougie Black Brother Network. Hello and welcome to Urban Lifestyle Cafe. I'm Michael, your bougie black brother. And since it's our Urban Lifestyle Cafe, you know it's all about the movies at this time.
Yes, it is.
And I'm here with my co-host, Alicia.
Hello.
And tonight, we stopped with the blockbusters and the crash and burn. And we went to a more dramatic, most likely an Oscar contender, the movie Detroit.
Yes, it's very good.
So, what is this Detroit? So, it starts with the 1967 Detroit riots and what was going on during that time. But it goes on to something called the Algiers Hotel or Algiers Motel incident.
Yeah, which we have never heard of. Yeah, we
whatsoever.
You know, we know everybody knows about the Detroit riots.
Well, lots of people know and lots of people do not know, because at first, sometimes when they talk about the Detroit riots, yeah, I think about the riots in Philadelphia where the cops blew up the buildings where people were in, and you know, the Watts riots that was in California. And, you know, there was riots going on in so many cities during the 60s because of the racial indifference within, you know, police and city officials and all types of things.
Mm-hmm.
But Kathryn Bigelow, she's a very amazing director. She done some older stuff that I kind of blew off. She did Point Break with the surfers and all. She did Strange Days. I like to see that again. I liked it when it first came out, and I didn't know that was her, and some other miscellaneous movies. But she jumped out in front of everyone when she did Hurt Locker, the war movie about the bomb specialist. So that was like really, really interesting. But this was a woman who did something with war. And on top of that, then she flipped it to the CIA and a hunt for Osama bin Laden. And that was a really intense one as well. So she has a name for doing a lot of intense dramas. And you can tell
she's very selective, how she does
her camera work, mm-hmm. How she wants to show things so you can kind of get emotionally attached to what's going on. So this was an interesting take on what she was going to do about the riots with Detroit. And we really had to do some research after we saw the movie, because there was a lot of things that seemed like, damn, did that shit really happen?
Yeah.
That's how we felt leaving the movie, because, you know, they sensationalize so many movies to say, based on a true story, but we're going to just be adding shit in there.
Right.
So one of the complaints about this movie, and I'm not sure if you read it, babe, but one of the quick complaints was the beginning of the movie about the great black migration to the north from the south.
So
they
left
the farms and they were showing these cutouts and mm-hmm. kind of like what they may not have picked up on was this was a lot of type of art that black people were doing, and all they did was animate it. So these were like sketches and collages that I've seen black artists made. And they did it in the sense of this is how black people depicted the Great Migration and different things that occurred. But this critic said this paper mache, that was a funny way of starting the movie off. But I think what she did was, this is a depiction that black people did about the migration into the cities and what happened from there. So if you look back and you start looking at art, and I didn't do the research to see who did that type of graphics, but I just remember seeing that type of art and stuff that went on. Did you ever see anything like that, baby?
That kind of art?
Yeah.
I've seen something like that. I was wondering where we have seen it at.
Yeah, so I don't know exactly. So don't get me wrong. I can't say, oh, that was such and such Grover who did that. No, I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is it looks so familiar that I know that she must have used some of the art that a lot of the black artists did about their the great diaspora to migration to the north from the south. And it started off. So I thought it was interesting. I thought it was like, wow, that's a homage to black artists and everything. So it kind of started off the same as they migrated up north and started mixing in with the races from there to get these manufacturing jobs. The white people went to the suburbs and all of the money and the resources were pulled out of these cities. And it started getting a lot of racial tensions within the city.
So the local, the artist is black, mm-hmm. and his name is Mario Broughton.
Spell it.
Broughton.
Broughton.
Mm-hmm. And he was the one that was his art was shown at the very beginning of the movie.
So what's interesting about that is, you know, again, you know, when people aren't aware, they make their opinions. And, you know, I don't care about the, you know, everyone has their opinion, but it has to be based on something. Now, if he didn't like it, I'm fine. You didn't have to like it. If it was necessary, yeah, I'm fine with that, too. But the problem is, if you don't know what she was trying to depict, you would never know what was the reason for it, you know.
Well, I'm sorry. She's very good at what she did. I mean, what she was doing to the movie, she brung everything in there that will relate to the movie as being a black person. Knowing that, you know, the struggles that they went through.
Right, right.
And I love the fact that she did that. So at the very beginning, she was saying, this is the struggles as black people, African-American went through, and then led right into the riots of Detroit.
Yeah, and what started the riots.
Right, exactly.
So if you didn't know, it started with the riots, that the cops was, there was a lot of racist cops or cops that was against the black people in the town.
Well, they were just harassing they having a house party, and they not supposed to have it.
So what it was like a speakeasy, what they call it is the speakeasy. So there was almost like house parties.
Right. Exactly.
But they having parties at certain areas, like businesses that they didn't have a liquor license for.
Right.
Now, there's plenty of them around. You should know it was in New York. It was all major cities. Yeah. But they didn't raid them. So you got these constantly being raided and taking these people to jail and constantly just harassing them in that way. And, you know, it showed even at the beginning that they was inside people. So there's these black people that was, you like, Uncle Tom's, you know, what they call them.
No, you can't do that. You know, man, you know, you can't be messing with people like that. Well, we got to do something because they got to walk. We got to show them. I mean, it was just so real.
Yeah, so it showed up. And the people is just, as the collages at the beginning was telling you, that there was a problem. Then you understand as they was raiding it, then there was people coming out in the street and they was like, yo, this is just some bullshit. These cops, get the hell up out of our neighborhood. Don't tell us to go home. You go home.
Mm-hmm.
So you felt from after the collages, it didn't have to explain it. It explained it through the collages. They didn't have to go through a, this is what started and then these couples was this and then black people. It immediately went into showing how the cops was harassing them and how black people were really, really fed up what was going on.
Yeah, because you said at the beginning, it's like, hurry up with the goddamn vans.
They wanted to get out of there.
Yeah, because they were putting them up in the van. And then the one part that I thought was like real, real messed up is when that white man put his hand on that black woman's body.
And she said, get your hands off
me. Yeah,
your hands on me.
I was like, it was like he purposely did it.
Oh, he did, because he did it twice.
Yes, he did.
So, you know, again, it was showing a level of disrespect. And then as they were leaving, they was throwing bottles, they was doing rocks mm-hmm. and whatever. And that's where they said the riot started.
Right.
So, you know, I was reading some historic things. They would said that wasn't necessarily when it started, but that was something that they could have used as a starting point.
Right. Yes, it could.
The thing is, what Leisha and I was reading to is, you know, everyone's going to question, how true is this? You know?
Right.
How true did she get it close to what was happening? Well, the level of detail that she went into, she just reenact what people went through mm-hmm. and didn't take too much poetic license to actually get that done.
Right.
You know, she actually went with what was being said, what was...
I mean, she really put it together the way it should have been put together. So there was no gaps. Let's say that. There was no gaps that she could not fill in. She made sure it was as close to what happened as possible.
And I think what you said to me when we was leaving the theater, one of the things Leisha said she liked was the fact that, which I enjoyed too, they put some live action video of what was going
on.
So when Romney's father, who was the governor, when he was saying these thugs or whatever that was rioting, that they showed him. They showed portions of the cops in the street when they mm-hmm. was just rolling into certain area. When the National Guard came in.
Right.
And the army and different type of law enforcement right. was just rolling into the area.
They showed the when they were pulling the bodies out of the hotel or the motel, you know, from the original footage.
Yeah,
you know,
from the original footage.
Yeah, and it's like this, she's like, I'm not going to get soldiers or guards to fill in this spot. Let's bring in the original footage because this is what really happened.
Yeah, so she wanted to make sure that, you know, if you think I kind of made some things up or mm-hmm. glossed over it, this is an actual event.
Right.
If you don't know, here it is right here.
Right, right.
So did the National Guard really show up? Is she showing them guards because she always does war movies? No.
The National Guards were there.
The National Guard was freaking there.
Which was so interesting because it's like in Georgia, these things that, you know, I pay attention, we know about law enforcement. So they had the state, they had the, what was it, the city, and they had the state, and they had the National Guards. Mm-hmm. And they all was like, fuck that shit. Let me get the hell out. So when that all happened at the hotel. Mm-hmm. But you know what's so interesting is why, okay, well, let's go ahead and finish it because there were some things I wanted to say about certain parts of the movie.
So what parts of the movie?
For example, when, because thinking about it, they didn't put the National Guard person in there as being charged as well.
Yeah, so he was there. But
because even in
it was about the to me
it was about the police. Yeah, because everything in the documentation that was reading, you know what I'm saying, what, you know, from the facts we were finding out, he wasn't even mentioned, you know what I'm saying, and he was one that did the fake shooting as well.
So when I read one of them, they the documentation said he was there,
right?
But and one of them said that he did participate.
Yes.
Just like the black security guard, there was a portion that they said he did participate.
Right.
But I think what she did was getting through the movie, she didn't have to add all of that into it.
But see, he
was there.
Right, he was there, but he wasn't sitting in the as being person tried.
So reading through this, I don't think even he was tried.
Yes, he wasn't because I guess he was part of the government. I mean, military. No,
he wasn't the one that was identified as one of them. So it's still you had witnesses and you had victims. Mm-hmm, so if the victims didn't say, yes, he was one of them, they wouldn't have tried him.
Yeah, but
they knew the National Guard was there. They knew he was part of, a couple of them was part of what was going on. But what led to that was we even talked that. That's the Algiers motel incident. So before that happened, It was more so what was going on in the streets. Yes. So as soon as the actual National Guard started rolling in there, that's when the tensions was pretty, pretty hot. But the guard was to protect, you know, the people and the property and all of that. And the police was just being police. But the black people was pissed at the police. They wasn't pissed at the National Guard because they were showing up. They didn't like the fact that the National Guard was there. But it was the cops and their harassive tactics that black people were very, very upset and uncomfortable about. So what happened when they actually, National Guard rolled in, there was a portion where the security guard
came out.
What came out of a store that he was securing.
Right.
And he gave them coffee. He was like, look, I just don't want them, you know, misidentifying us. And they heard shots. But, damn, I went too far in. So a portion that was really important that we just kind of glossed over was, and I didn't get it until later, was during that time, there was a concert at the Fox Hotel in Detroit, and the Dramatics, who's a real group, the Dramatics was supposed to perform.
Right.
And they had to vacate the area because the National Guard was coming in and the riots were getting closer.
Yeah.
And so they was getting closer, so they told everybody to leave. So the group Dramatics had two young guys that was in there, the whole group. So they all got on a bus and they was trying to go home. But two of them couldn't go home. They found their way to a motel, which was the Algiers Hotel. So when they went into the hotel, they was just chilling. They paid $11. But they ran into two white girls from Ohio. And one of the singers, the lead singer, it was something Cleveland. He was the charismatic one. And then the guy who wanted to be the manager, he was with him. So them two was hanging out. But they wanted to hang out with the white girls. He said, yeah, I'm going to try to get you some. So they was hanging out with the two white girls, and come to find out, they was hanging out at the hotel with a whole bunch of other black guys. You know, one of the girls was like, yeah, she's a prostitute. Yeah, and they was just laughing it off. So they was hanging with a couple of other these black guys. And so you was wondering, what the hell is all of this going to? Well, while they was hanging with them in the room, one of the guys picks up a pistol and was trying to let the young singer guy know, this is how the cops are harassing me. And he was talking, and he was like, yeah, he's harassing me. And, you know, he said, don't point that gun at me. And bam! And he shot at him, and the guy drops to the floor. And everybody's, like, really shocked, except for the people who knew. And it was like a blank pistol or
something? Yeah, it was a toy gun.
It was a toy pistol.
You know, remember we had, remember those?
Yeah, the little cap guns.
Yeah, all. It had a little cap you had to put a little paper in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was something like that.
So he had that, and they laughed it off, and they went, and so went from there. So from the distance, when we said the National Guard was outside and the security guard was coming out to give him coffee, one of the guys from the room started shooting out the window. He was like, yeah, they need to know that we ain't scared of them. And so he starts shooting the fake gun, and they hear it like, oh, somebody's shooting at us, a sniper. Because prior in the movie, they were saying there were snipers on the roofs shooting at the cops. So it was something that was established that snipers are out there that shooting at them. Again, all of this is true facts that was actual during that time. So they laughed it off, but little did they realize that the National Guard and everybody was coming to the hotel, because they found out that they can see the flash from the muzzle from the hotel's window. So as soon as they run up into the to the hotel, they start shooting it. So the reason why this incident occurred was because there was an alleged sniper in the building. But the facts show that there was never anything recovered.
Yeah, there was no gun recovered. They couldn't find a sniper. They the kids didn't, I mean, they them youngins didn't even know you know, what they were looking for. They was like, well, the gun, if it was a sniper, the gun, you got the gun right there, you know, because the guns were, you know, that they were carrying were like, what, shotguns. So they didn't know the difference.
So to them, there was a no gun. So the thing is, and that's one of the things that they said, there was only a toy gun, but they didn't recover a toy gun. Then was there really a sniper, or was there another sniper? Because even while they was in the remember when they was in a hotel, someone had started shooting at them again, but it was from another building or in from another place. Remember when they ran out, they was like, yeah, there's somebody else.
Yeah.
And then it was like, so what are we going to do? It may have been somebody. They said, we got to bring somebody.
Right. Exactly.
So.
And I think that, and that's exactly what I think it was. I think
it
that.
It may not have been. Because remember the other kid said, I think y'all got the wrong building.
Exactly. Exactly.
So it was just so crazy because it was so intense. And then you realize that they was holding these people hostage for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
And they started shooting them for no reason other than a racist cop who was leading the others. So the one racist cop,
he shot
one of the another guy earlier
in the beginning of the movie. Yeah,
earlier in the movie. I'm not sure if it was a couple of days or was that same day or whatever, but he shot someone in the back and he was like, well, we don't know what he was going to do. And the detective that was, he was like, look, I'm gonna bring you up on charges. Murder. I'm just letting you know.
And they said in from the article I read that he got cleared on that one too.
Yes. So, you know, I'm gonna get to that a little later. But what made it crazy was, you know, they kept him on the force while he was being investigated.
Yeah.
So I'm like, God damn, this is crazy.
Yeah.
They killing all of these people, but they let them go back on the field or
back in
on
those
the
days.
Streets.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the policy. Yeah, just go back on the streets. Until we figure out what we're going to do. And while they're harassing and killing people, it doesn't really matter. You know, I don't know when that law changed.
And the thing was, that made it so bad was that they knew what they did was wrong.
Absolutely. Because they knew jurisdiction-wise, they would have been involved if they was right or wrong. Yo was in the area during that time. So
right.
They would be held accountable. And they was like, look, I don't want to be involved in any type of civil rights or civil suits of any sort because they're violating their civil rights.
Right. And then.
So they was like, I'm the fuck up out of here. Let's go.
Get out of there. They got out of there real quick. And then.
But that was the state.
Right. And that was the state. Yeah. Then the.
The National Guard.
National Guards, they took a little longer, and then they realized, what the hell?
Look, I don't want to be involved in this. Mm-hmm. And then they start peeling off. Because
They took the girls with them. There was, you know, the two white girls, they was like, no, we getting them out of there.
And they was beating the white girls up.
Yeah.
So that was kind of crazy. Because even when they said that, they charged them with assault. But, you know, when they went to trial, they charged them with assault and murder. But, you know, you kind of like, yo, it's kind of obvious. But what you were seeing was witnesses' accounts of what occurred. So it may be clear to us that they did it. But the movie was based on witnesses' account.
Right. It was.
But not necessarily.
What
the police and everything was said in the trial.
Right.
So. They said, well, they went for the gun. And each and every time, they went for a gun, so I shot this guy. He went for the gun, then we shot him. He went for the gun, and it keeps saying these guys was going for the gun, and they steadily killing them. But when they went to trial, and the judge was like, the cops wasn't even read their Miranda rights, so we're going
to
throw out their confession.
That's
like
correct.
That.
That's correct. So that, honest and truthfully, got them off because the police actually didn't read them their Miranda rights.
Yeah, but the two cops, the two of the weaker ones from the racist guy, kind of told on him.
Yeah, they
told on the lead guy.
Yeah.
So they had them convicted, but they couldn't use their statements. So once you can't use their statements, they can change and say, nope, that's not what we did. And It was an all-white jury as well.
Right, but you know,
but,
they...
But the worst part, you know, let's go back to the Algiers motel, was the intensity of you don't know in their eyes or in their minds, they thought these people were being killed. They thought these people were being taken into a room and being killed.
Right.
But they was like, I don't know anything about a sniper, which they didn't. So the fear and all of that, it was kind of like, I don't even know what the hell to say.
Yeah. And they were torturing them. And
they were torturing them.
They were exactly. really torturing them. And it was just so, you know, so stupid, you know, how the last police officer talking about, you know what you got to do, right? You know, you got to shoot him.
Yeah. So while the other two knew they was lying.
Right. Playing.
The other guy was kind of like, you sure? And he was like, yeah, you know what you got to do. And he shoots the guy and was like, oh, yeah, it was kind of hard to do it. Do what? I had to shoot him. You what? And it's kind of like you had no plan. They was just going by the hip just to intimidate and harass. And here's the thing that kind of made it so uncomfortable. On a normal movie, it wouldn't go this long.
No, it would have gone.
This went long. Mm-hmm. So the torture, the harassment, one step out of the other, then somebody dies.
But you see how the flow of the movie went. It just led you right into the part where they went to the hotel. It was so cool how she did that, because you was like, okay, so where is it going? Mm-hmm. You know, because I basically thought it was all about the riots.
Yeah, yeah.
And so when you saw the black guys kissing, he's like, man, that guy's kissing their ass for some coffee. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so he giving them coffee. Then you just heard shots. You just heard the shots. And it was like, where are they going? You know, where are they going to find out where these shots are coming from?
But, you know, so part of me reading a little about the movie was, we knew there was an incident inside the hotel, but I thought it was about, you know, they rushed up into the hotel and they killed them.
Right.
And then they tried to cover it up. That's what I thought.
Okay.
So I thought it would just, when they go in and they shot the one guy, they would go upstairs and shoot the other people. Mm-hmm. And then it'll switch to, there was a massacre in there and they put, I didn't know that they held them and tortured them and
you know, kind
of kept the white girls in there.
Right.
And kind of and tortured them all together. And I was like, wow, look at
even
this
the previews, you know, and I seen like one quick preview. Even the previews didn't give you that kind of information.
No, but again, if you read about it, you would have been like, oh, okay, ooh, that's kind of weird. But you kind of seen that type of stuff before. I've seen hostage situations. You get that. This one was a little more intense. Mm-hmm. This was the way she did it was very intense. And like the white girls were saying, she said, these is just kids. These guys is like, if you read it, they was like 18, 17 years old.
Right.
These were young kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they were torturing and killing them in front of each other. Just totally outright disrespect. And then the end result was they got off.
Yep. It was so easy.
They got off and because they were police officers.
But also remember, you know, what I mentioned to you right before we got on was the fact that the black guy there, who was a security guard, they charged him. Try to charge him for the murders,
mm-hmm.
remember? And they put him in jail first. From what I was reading, they put him in jail first before they even realized who really killed those young men. And they didn't even release him. So they went after them later on and put them in jail. So when they were doing in the court, when they were on being tried, the black guy was sitting with them.
Yep.
And so it was almost, from what I was reading, was that they didn't want it to give to say it was racist for the white men. If it was just those three white men, it would have been racist. And then they would have a justified, they would feel they would have a reason to put them in jail. But because the black man was also charged with it, and he really did not have nothing to do with it, they basically couldn't use the racist card.
Yeah, they just procedural. Mm-hmm. So it was procedural. And if they stuck to procedural, then they were fine. You know, that's what bothered me the most. I wanted to get to the point of, I think what Catherine Bigelow wanted to show was, this is going on right now. So cops are harassing people. Cops are unjustifiably shooting black people. And they're getting off.
Yeah, you.
What and else? They're getting off. So right. The thing is, it's not only was it intense as a movie, it was intense as a true movie, and intense because nothing has changed.
Right. You could see over time just it continuing happen, and continually them getting off on what they're doing to the black community.
You know, you got young millennials and even Generation X that may have not remembered things like this or read about things like this. So they think it's just happening to us. They're doing it just to us. No, they've been doing this for the longest. There's points in history that this shit was going on that people don't talk about because it hasn't stopped. So if you killed 15 people back in the 60s, but you killed 10 people this year, there you go. It's the same thing. It's not new. And we haven't done anything to change it. And she wanted to show people, you see what happened back then? This is what's happening now. And if you don't address it, things is going to boil over in a different way. But I wanted to show you what happened that people have a tendency of forgetting or not even knowing about. Because she pointed that at me to say, did you know about this? If you're looking at what's going on right now, this shit was going on for the longest. And I just thought that as a director, and so the director and the writer of the movie, they worked together on Zero Dark Thirty. So they made a decision to work together to do this movie. And they didn't go out and say, we want to show this movie to talk about the conditions of today. No, they said, this is a bad mark in history, what went on that people don't even know about. I want to make a movie about it. And she kind of did it in an almost in a war fashion, because with the military being there and bombs, and they showed a lot of aerial footage where buildings was decimated and fires was going on and you know, just things that was just totally decimated, like war. It looked like a war zone in certain places. So, and she's good at depicting that. But she said, this is happening in the United States of America.
I feel was a great story. I really, it, you know, there's parts that you know, I felt that was very emotional. The part that boy said, no, he's dead. You killed him. And he didn't say you killed him, but he said, no, I see him. He's dead. And the police officer just shot him.
Yep.
And that was just like, you know, was he the when he said it twice and he told him not to. And he said it anyway. I did not expect for him to shoot him.
Well, I did.
I mean, I really
did. Because he didn't care about black lives anyway. You know, black lives matter, but they didn't care. You know, they especially didn't care because they knew they could come up with an excuse. Yeah, but they showed them twice.
Yeah, but
twice.
The thing is they showed all of them.
They showed twice that they put a knife down to say, that's my excuse for shooting them.
Yeah, another thing is that, you know, they talk about their rights, the marshal. Well, the state police and then the military, you know, the National Guards, and they didn't give a shit. They just and back then that's what you seen. You expect the National Guard to help and protect what was going on and stop what was going on. They wasn't there to stop the shootings, but they were supposed to be there to stop what crimes that were being committed by blacks. I mean, committed by whites to protect the blacks.
Who's that?
The National Guards, no, I assume.
No, they wasn't.
They were just there to just they, to be
they
there.
They was there to protect property.
Okay.
That's what they were. They wasn't there to protect. They protect people. So, you know, if anyone was robbing other people, it had nothing to do with the police. The National Guard is to protect the property and people,
you know, well,
but not against law enforcement, because that wasn't what they were trying to
and
do.
See, that's what I was expecting them to do. I expected the National Guards to have stopped what was going on. And it was almost like they had control. They could have stopped it. It was only three of them, and there was plenty of them. But
they had jurisdiction. It was
the
Detroit police.
It was Detroit police, then the state, then the National Guards.
Yep. And the state said, I'm not going to intervene into this because they started off and they doing some bogus ass shit. So if we intervene, we're going to be held accountable for allowing the city of Detroit police to do what they did. So they'll be part of either a lawsuit or anything like that. That was the issue with there. And I'm like, you know what? You let these people get killed. You basically let these people be killed.
I mean, there was no, I mean, so there that was something that I seen that I was like wondering, like, okay, why, you know, it had to end it that way. And you, I mean, again, it was a true story. So, you know, what you wanted to happen wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, but you know, since I didn't know the story, I didn't know it was going to be like that.
Yeah,
you know, that was the fucked up part. You know, I was kind of like, damn. So I'll go back to what you were saying almost offline before we got on with the podcast. Was what was the sad part is I didn't realize why the young boy on the dramatics was so devastated. I didn't get it. I was like, you know what? Just go on with your life. You know, I understand that your people, your friends and everything died and everything, but you know, that was just fucked up and, you know, just dedicated to them. But here's the key, you know, until I read it, now I can understand. He was a kid. He was 17 years old. You don't get over shit like that.
No.
Your life just starting. And if your life just starting and you see things like that and you know what they can do, even though, and they got off.
Yeah.
You know what they can do to you.
He said he was, you know, he said he was afraid of white people.
Yeah.
That was so profound.
He was like, I can't go to those clubs.
Yeah, he's like,
I'm afraid.
Yeah. He was
something's going to happen.
Right. And also the fact that, you know, why would we be doing music for white people?
Yeah.
He's like, why would white people want to listen to my music?
He was like, why are we doing it for them?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, why are we making them dance?
It was
like we try to make them happy, but they're not doing anything for us.
Yeah, it was so profound when you heard him say that he was afraid of white people.
But I understand because at that age, it's, you know, things like that can influence you big time.
Yeah, I mean.
And it did to him.
Yep,
it may sure not did. Have the other guys, but it did for him.
It sure did for him.
And he was like, I'm not having this shit.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't. He mentally couldn't do it. He pretty much gave up on life until he said, I can't eat. I have to work. So he decided to go to a church and sing at a church and barely make the money just to survive. But he was okay because he did not want to be around white people.
Yep.
He did not want to be around them.
But, so
yeah, so and but so she made sure you understood that, you know, there's no happy ending to this. And you know, some of the critics was like, yeah, she did that, but there's no solution. She was just showing that she don't have to have a solution. This was real.
Yeah. I mean, there wasn't
what was the solution?
Yeah, back in that time, what kind of solution were there going
to
be?
You can't make a solution to something that was true.
Unless, you know, you're trying to bring it in, like you create something out of the blue, pull it out of your magic hat, here's the solution to something that happened back in the night.
You know, come on now.
Yeah, so back in the 1960s.
No, it's not. So here's the thing. This is a true story. Do you make something happy about Martin Luther King dying? He got killed. They shot him.
You don't.
How do you make that a happy ending?
You can't make that a happy ending. You can't. Ending.
So I don't understand the criticism of how could she make something good from something that was wrong.
Don't get me started.
But this is what white people want. To hey, look, I know we was wrong for what we did, but you can't make us look wrong all the time. If you're fucking wrong, you're wrong.
You're wrong. That's right.
And
right.
it was a terrible situation that people have to recognize is still going on right
exactly.
now.
Exactly. Exactly.
And if you don't make the corrections now, it will continue. And if you let it continue and it boils over, black people may not just do their own neighborhoods. There's other things that they will do. And
well,
you,
I mean,
you see things that's happening around the world that tells you that.
Right. And you know what? And you've seen things happen, like you said, around the world. Here in the United States, you have a whole different perspective where they're like, I ain't doing it. You know, I'm not going to burn down my house for you. You know, there is no, back then, they fought and they support each other, the black communities back then.
So they didn't. They didn't support each other.
Back
you know
then,
why they didn't? Because they still burnt down the black owned businesses. Even though they put Soul Brother on the store, they still burnt them down.
Yeah, but they to them, they were making a point.
Yeah, but you, what's the old saying? You cut off your nose to spite your face.
Yeah, I totally understand that. But
so that's what was going on.
To again, babe, to them, they felt that they were fighting the cause and they made their point. Where, you know, where white people were saying, well, why would you burn down your own place?
So what's the point, though?
Their point was they were fighting against the police.
But that's not the police. That you was burning down your own neighborhood.
Okay, so.
So this was about anger. This wasn't about making a point. That point was, I'm going to destroy my neighborhood and no one's going to come back in and build up your neighborhood because you burnt it down. Because now I'm not coming back. So it wasn't to make a point. It was anger. It was frustration and anger. And anything and everything that they touched was burnt down. The consequences was, oh shit, maybe we shouldn't have done that. I get that. Maybe we just shouldn't have done that. Wasn't no point to be made though.
I mean, didn't see them saying that.
You can't. Because
it wasn't
there
about,
was no point.
Right. They well, she didn't show that part either.
But anyway. There was no point in burning down your own neighborhood. That was anger. That was rioting of I am just frustrated. You don't when anger boils up like that, it's where you at. It's not where you're going. So normally people lash out where they are. They don't go somewhere and do that. They lash out where they are.
Mm-hmm.
And usually that's the case. That's the case when, if you notice, when people win like the World Series and they riot and they're just having a good time. But if they burn down that whole area, guess what? People's like, I'm not coming back here. And it was like, damn, what happened to that restaurant? Remember your crazy motherfuckers burnt it down. And they're scared to build it back up because y'all going to burn it down again.
Yeah, well, we've seen that. We've seen that in
every... So that's why I'm saying it's not a point. It was frustration and anger. And most people they react in their immediate area. That's just what they do.
Okay.
I understand it. Does it make sense? No, it doesn't. But I understand that feeling because... When you get frustrated, you lash out. And usually you lash out to the people that's in front of you. You don't go somewhere and lash at somebody.
Right.
Else.
Yeah, that's understandable.
So, but that's what happened. And that's why Detroit is kind of in the same position they're in right now. Because they just refuse to reinvest in that area. They're pushing them out. They're making sure the place is so devastated. And then when blacks are out of there, they're going to turn around and build it back up. And black people can't afford to come back.
Well, I believe they did build it back up. But remember when she talked, they were talking about it. They kept the blacks in certain areas and wouldn't allow them to come out.
What do you mean?
Meaning they, you know, they said they kept them in two different communities where there was the overflow of black people.
I'm talking about right now.
Okay.
I'm talking about now. Because it's still they really never recovered, especially when the car company started moving out. When they started moving out, they wasn't coming back. And there was a limited amount of jobs that was available, manufacturing jobs that was available. So, but it's just sad. It was a very, very good movie, but it was really sad and you know, again, frustrating and really, and it got you angry because you see the same thing going on right now. And you can say, shit hasn't changed.
Yeah. Hasn't changed. You definitely can relate to the movie and, you know, even switch it years. If you switch the years, it still have not changed.
Still haven't changed.
It has, you know, not changed.
It would have probably been maybe the black people shooting at them or who knows. But it probably would have ended up almost in the same way with them getting off. Yeah. You know. Again, really, really intense movie. Very, very intense movie. But I enjoyed it. I love the way she directed it. I think the story in parts was kind of, I think they lingered too much on the music portion. I didn't think they needed to tie in it that much. But I think they wanted to show that even people of different socioeconomic backgrounds were subjected to this. And that's what they were doing. So I guess she wanted to do it in that way. But other than that, yeah, I've really enjoyed the movie. Very good. Sure. Urban Lifestyle Cafe. Go out and see this movie. It's really intense. If that's not your type, you're really going to come out like, it was too slow, or I don't believe that. Well, do your research. Most of it is believable because it was reenactment of statements and factual evidence that was picked up during the trial, before the trial, and eyewitnesses. But she did a really, really good job once again on one of her movies, Catherine Bigelow. Urban Lifestyle Cafe. I'm Michael, Bougie Black Brother. BougieBlackBrother.com, Bougie Black Bro, Instagram, and Twitter. And go on YouTube. We're putting a couple of YouTube videos in. Some of the videos will be on there. Some of the podcasts will be on there with images. So we'll be able to get on different types of mediums. Anything else, baby?
No. I did want to say, what's the number that you would give this movie?
I'll say about enough. I'm giving out a lot of eights for some reason, but yeah, I say a good eight.
Yeah, I said the same thing.
If you drop the music and you would have tightened this up a little more, I think it would have gave it a little higher. But I think the unnecessary portions of lingering on the music portion, I don't think was necessary. But I think she wanted to lighten it up and, like I said, tie it in together. But I give it a strong eight, a good eight. Take away a couple of things, it would probably be an 8.5. I would have jumped it 2 points up or 2.5 points up. And that would have been a really, really intense movie. But see you next time on Urban Lifestyle Cafe. And have a good evening.
Goodbye. Ooh.